Ezekiel 23. This is about two really bad women, verse 2, the daughters of one mother, and is talking about the 10 tribes, Samaria and Jerusalem, the two tribes of Judah. And this is all in the context of what we read in chapter 22, that Ezekiel is trying to get Jerusalem to recognize her sin, to see how bad is her behavior. Because otherwise, you know, the Babylonians are outside pretty well the gates of Jerusalem. They're going to destroy the city. But they needn't. That need not happen if Israel repent. And so that appeal has been made many times by Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I think God is almost getting more desperate to try to, by all means, persuade them. And so he uses some really, really dramatic language here. He says, these two women played the prostitute in Egypt in their youth. So, as he said in chapter 20, they worshipped idols in Egypt. They were unfaithful to God in Egypt. You know, God's people were married to him, but they went off with other men in the sense that they worshipped idols. They were like that in the wilderness. They were like it when they entered the land. They were like it now as Babylon's about to destroy them. And God's saying, look, this happened from the start. You were like this. Their names were Aholah, the older, and Aholibah, her sister. They became mine, and they bore sons and daughters. Again, the implication is the children that they bore were theirs, but they bore them to God. They were married to God, just as our children are our children, but they are also born to God. Samaria, that's the 10 tribes, is Aholah, and Jerusalem, or Judah, is Aholibah. Aholah played the prostitute when she was mine. I was married to her, but she went off with other men. She doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors. Well, she was taken captive into Assyria. These lovers, talk about having bad friends, these lovers turned round and killed her. She bestowed her prostitution on them, on the most handsome men of Assyria. Clothed with blue, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. With all her idols, she defiled herself. Neither has she left her prostitution since the days of Egypt. Therefore, I delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians on whom she doted. So, the very gods of Assyria she worshipped, and so Assyria came and destroyed her. It just shows the utter folly of any form of worship, of anything that takes us away from God, that stands in the place of God. That is what an idol is in our days, and in essence it's always been like that. They uncovered, this is the Assyrians, they uncovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters, and her they killed with the sword, and she became a byword among women. Her sister Aholibah, that's Judah, saw this. Yet was she more corrupt than she? Well, Aholibah, Judah, was supposed to have learnt from what happened to Assyria, to have thought to the 10 tribes, to Samaria. They should have thought, Samaria was unfaithful to God. The 10 tribes, they went off into captivity in Assyria. Well, that's what's going to happen to me unless I repent. But they didn't get the lesson. They refused to. God brings people into our lives as well, and we see the judgment that comes upon them for their behavior, and we are to learn from that. But Aholibah did even worse. She doted on the Assyrians, her neighbors. She was married to God, but she was off having relationships with her neighbors. They were gorgeous young men, horsemen riding on horses. I saw that she was defiled. They both took the same way. She increased her prostitution. She saw men portrayed on the wall, the images of the Chaldeans. Well, earlier, we've read that Ezekiel saw that the Jews had painted or made or sculptured images of their idols on the walls of the temple inside the holy place. They brought those idols, as it were, right in to the temple. And it stresses that as soon as she saw them, she doted on them. She was visually impressed with them. She saw. It was the lust of the eyes. And you see that all around us, people doing absolutely foolish things because they follow the lust of the eyes. No self-control. As soon as she saw them, she doted on them and sent messengers to them into Chaldea, that's Babylon. The Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their prostitution, and she was polluted with them, and her soul was alienated from them. So, just like the 10 tribes had loved the idols of Assyria, and then they are attacked and destroyed by the Assyrians, so the people of Judah had loved the idols of Babylon, and the same was going to happen to them. One minute she loved them, the next minute she was alienated from them. She fell out. And all wrong relationships do not work. Her soul was alienated from them. Then my soul was alienated from her, like as my soul was alienated from her sister. Oh, how awful. That they were alienated from their lovers, but then God was alienated from them. They were left utterly alone. And it's that awful aloneness which is what's going to be, sadly, the fate of those who are condemned at the last day. All their mates down in the pub that they hung out with, all their mates at work that they thought were better friends, better, more worth being with than the people of God, they will fall out with them, they won't be there for them, and God is not there for them. You remember the foolish virgins in the parable of Jesus? They come and knock on the door and say, "Lord, Lord, open to us," and he'll answer and say, "I don't know you." And here it says, God's soul was alienated from them, left utterly alone. Don't go with the world, don't go with the way of idols, but give yourself completely and totally to God. She doted on them. That is that she just so loved them. She was so intrigued with them, so fascinated, just so loved them. They repeated the lewdness of their youth in Egypt when they first worshipped idols. Therefore, Aholibah, thus says Yahweh, I will raise up your lovers against you, from whom your soul is alienated, and I will bring them against you on every side. The Babylonians and the Assyrians and their desirable young men, those men she'd lusted after, were going to come as strong soldiers riding on horses and destroy her. I will set my jealousy against you. Yeah, God loved them so much, of course he was going to be jealous if they then went off with other people. And they will deal with you in fury. They will take away your nose and your ears. It's awful. They shall take your sons and your daughters. They will strip you of your clothes, take away your beautiful jewels, and thus I will make your lewdness to cease from you, and your prostitution brought from the land of Egypt. They had always been unfaithful to God, really, as a nation, right from the days of Egypt. All the reforms of the kings were fair enough, but clearly the mass of the people were not affected, because one good king of Judah makes a reform, and then just a few years later you read that another one is needed. I will deliver you into the hand of those whom you hate, into the hand of those from whom your soul is alienated. So at the last day, when people are condemned, those who have loved the world and rejected God, they're going to say, no, I don't want to go back into the world. I hate the world. I want to be with God. But it's going to be too late. I will deliver you into the hand of those whom you hate, and they will deal with you in hatred and will take away all your labor. So they hated the Babylonians hated them, and they will leave you naked and bare, so alone, God alienated from them, the Babylonians, their former lovers, alienated from them, absolutely alone. You've walked in the way of your sister, that's Israel, the 10 tribes, therefore will I give her cup into your hand. You will drink of your sister's cup, deep and large. You shall be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of your sister Samaria. You will drink it and drain it out, and you will gnaw the broken pieces of it, and shall tear off your breasts. For I have spoken it, says the Lord Yahweh. This image of a woman tearing off her own breasts, this is awful. This is talking about self-hate. And Jesus talks about that when he says that the rejected at the day of judgment will weep and bang their teeth, gnash their teeth. And I think that talks of anger, but who is the anger with? It's anger with themselves. How could I be so stupid? Why have I been so stupid and wasted my great time of opportunity? And so I appeal to you and God appeals to you. Don't let that happen to you. Turn to God completely now. Quit your idols. Give yourself completely heart and soul to him. Of course you're going to sin and fail. As Paul says, the good that I would, I don't do, and the evil that I would not do, I do. That is it. Unfortunately, we are not going to be perfect. But look at how God judges the righteous kings of Judah. He says, look, my overall summary is, this man loved me with his heart. You read the guy's life, his biography, and well, yeah, it wasn't that great in quite a few ways, but overall, he had a heart for God. King David was the same. I think he also messed up big time various ways, not just with Bathsheba. But he loved God, and he walked in God's ways, and God accepted that. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you've forgotten me and cast me behind your back, you shall bear your lewdness and prostitution. Son of man, will you judge Aholah and Aholibah, then declare to them their abominations? I think the idea is get them to realize this and to repent so this doesn't have to happen. For they have committed adultery. Blood is in their hands. With their idols have they committed adultery. So we are married to God or married to Jesus or we're the bride of Jesus. Don't go off with other things in life. Be focused on him. And they have caused their sons, whom they bore to me, to pass through the fire to their idols to be devoured. So your children are yours, but you bore them to God. And marry someone if you at that point in your life who's going to have that perspective, that we're going to raise a family and they will be born to God. Our children are not only ours, they are God's. Moreover, this they have done to me. They defiled my sanctuary and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. Thus have they done in the midst of my house. So they were not at all repentant. They could even sacrifice their children to their idols and then go to the temple. This is a trouble with religion, that people think that because I went to church, because I went to the temple, as they did, well, I'm good. And the problem is that we are deceived by that. And what God wants, of course, is our whole heart. He wants our heart not simply externally going into a temple and doing this, that, and the other. Thus says the Lord, I will bring up a company against them and will give them to be tossed back and forth and robbed. They will stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. They will kill their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses with fire. And there'd be no point in them saying, oh dear, you killed my son. Well, yeah, but you've just been sacrificing your own kids, some of them, to the idols. So what they did is going to come back on them. They will recompense your lewdness on you, and you will bear the sins of your idols, and you will know that I am the Lord Yahweh.